Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. As always, we appreciate you listening every Sunday night. Bible Crossfire. You can, of course, get into the Crossfire by calling us at 877-655-6755 with your Bible question or comment. What we try to do on this program, of course, allow you to call in with your Bible questions or comments. We're trying to get at the truth. Now, we know there's such a thing as truth when we're talking about science and mathematics, but many people, they just fail to realize that in religion, there's a truth also. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." John 8:31. Then he says in verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, he's talking about religious truth here. It's not science truth, not mathematics truth. Those things are important in their own place. He's talking about religious truth, which is by far the most important truth. He says, if you know the truth, it'll make you free. And he's talking about being made free from sin. Now, the implication is that if we're not believing and following the truth, we're not going to be made free from our sins. Talking to a guy on the phone the other day, and this is typical, basically he says, all that really matters is whether or not you accept Christ. All these other things that the Bible talks about, it doesn't really matter if you get those things right. All you have to do is accept Christ. And all these other things that what Christ said, and that maybe the debates about what Christ said and what he taught us to do and the differences, doesn't make any difference. But that's not what Jesus said at all. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free from sin." So if you really believe Jesus is Lord, you got to make him Lord by believing what he says and doing what he says. But before the program started, our intro mentioned 2 John verse 9. "Whoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ does not have God." Now, you can't be saved without God. The only way we can be saved is through the blessing of God, through the death of his Son. And this verse says, in order to have God, in order to be saved, we've got to abide in the doctrine of the teaching of Christ. Of course, most preachers will tell you, no, that's not important to abide in the teaching of Christ. If you'll just accept Christ, it doesn't really matter what you believe about what Christ said. But the Bible itself, God himself says, to be saved, to have God, you must abide, stay inside the teaching of Christ. And that's what this program is all about. Examining different doctrines, religious doctrines, taught by different believers, people who claim to be Christians, showing the differences, and then showing what the Bible actually says on those things, because that's the truth, what the Bible says. God wrote the Bible, and so what the Bible said is true. What Pat Donahue says can be wrong. What any preacher says can be wrong, because we're not inspired. The only time we're right is when we prove what we say by the Bible, which is God's Word. And if somebody teaches something different than God's Word, then he's not teaching the truth, and those that follow him will not be made free from their sins. We've got to be so careful about what we believe and teach and what we practice in religion, because only the truth will set us free from sin. Only if we abide in the teaching of Christ will we have God and be saved. Again, the number to call is 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. Any Bible topic is game, fair game. 877-655-6755. I thought while we were waiting on our first call, we would talk about some things many believers don't realize are wrong. These are things that are forbidden by the Bible, things that the Bible teaches are wrong, and a lot of believers don't even realize they're in there. First example, saying as an interjection, for example, "my God," or "oh God." We hear that all the time on TV and people around us. That something happens that surprises them or upsets them, and they'll say, "my God," or they'll say, "oh God." Did you know that's taking the Lord's name in vain? You know, most believers realize that taking the Lord's name in vain is wrong, but they don't realize that using his name this way in a flippant way is using it in vain. It's showing him disrespect. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer." So we are told in the New Testament not to let corrupt communication come out of our mouth. And using God's name in such a way, in a flippant and disrespectful way, is taking his name in vain, and it's corrupt communication is forbidden by the Word of God. Matthew 6, verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye," from the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Hallowed means we respect him, we fear him. To take his name in such a flippant way, by just an interjection, by saying, "My God," or "O God," that's taking the Lord's name in vain. Hebrews 12:28, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." If we really reverence God, we won't say things like "My God" and "O God." We won't take his name in vain like that. Many believers do this all the time. People who claim to be believers in Christ, they take the Lord's name in vain in this way. And what we're saying is we've got to be more careful with our speech. Rick from New York, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
My question was on tithing, where it began, and how it's relevant today in the New Testament.
Well, now, you know, I think the first time we read about tithing, I'm looking in Genesis 14. Here it is. It's talking about Melchizedek and Abraham. And in verse 20 it says, "Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all." And so Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes. And then the law of Moses, of course, commanded that the Israelites tithe 10% of, we'll say, what they made. And then they did other things that actually, so that their total was actually ended up being more than 10%. But, you know, these are things that were under the Old Testament law, and we're under a different law today. The New Testament law doesn't actually tell us to do a tithe, 10%. And we can read this in a few places. Instead, it tells us just to give as we've been prospered. But it doesn't give a set amount, Rick. For example, in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, now it says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." So it's like the Old Testament in that we give as we've been prospered. The more we make, the more we should give. The exact 10% is not specified in the New Testament. And of course, the New Testament is our law for today. But my recommendation is if you love God, then you want to give more than 10%. Rick, do you have any follow-up questions or comments?
Well, so that's before the law, though. Is that not with Jacob and Melchizedek? Was that before the law?
Yeah, that was before the law of Moses, Melchizedek, and Abraham. That's right, Rick.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good. All right, no, that's good. Thank you.
That's Genesis 14, about verses 17 through 20 or something like that, Rick.
I'm going to grab that and start reading it. Thank you.
Hey, do you have a concordance where you can look up the English word tithe and then find all the places it's used in the Bible?
Yep.
That's another good way to do a study on that word.
I will do it.
Thanks for your call, Rick.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
So tonight we're talking about things that many believers do that are forbidden by the Bible, by God, and they don't realize it's wrong. Another example is when people say, "I swear I'm going to do such and such." This is forbidden by Jesus Christ directly, even in a court of law, to say, "I swear I'm going to do this or that." Many believers don't realize that the Bible teaches against that. But Jesus said in Matthew 5:34, he says, "But I say unto you, swear not at all." I don't think you can put something more emphatically than that, more definitively than that. Jesus says, "Swear not at all." James chapter 5, verse 12 says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation." And so, now, when we say swear here in Matthew 5:34 and James 5, we're not talking about cussing. We've already talked about not letting corrupt communication proceed out of our mouths, Ephesians 4:29. We're talking about when somebody says, "I swear I'm going to do this." It's like a guarantee that their word can't be trusted, so they say, "I swear I'm going to do this." Even in a court of law, Jesus says, "Swear not at all." And James 5, verse 12 says, "Swear not by any oath." And so a Christian should never say, "I swear I'm going to do such and such." Now, a lot of believers out there probably don't even realize that that's in the Bible, but it is in those two places. Michael from Texas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi. I'm reading the book of Matthew. I just started my salvation walk about 2 weeks ago. And my question is that, how do I know if I'm a Jew or a Gentile?
Well, you're a Jew, I guess, or Israelite, if you descended from Israel, Jacob, which is the grandson of Abraham. Do you know if you are Michael descendant?
I'm not sure yet. So yeah. I was just curious, like where would I turn to find out in the Bible, yeah. Or well, how should I direct my prayer to God about that?
Well, I guess nobody's genealogy goes back that far, so I guess nobody would know for 100% sure. But,
okay.
but I can be pretty sure myself that my forefathers were from European heritage, that my forefathers came from Europe, not from Israel. You follow what I'm saying? And then we have the African Americans, for example, in the United States. Their forefathers came from Africa, not from Israel. So I think we can be most of us can be 99% sure that we're a Gentile, but the way you would determine for sure is if you're a descendant of Jacob, who was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, then you would be a Jew, and if you're not, you'd be a Gentile. It's a matter of determining based upon your genealogy. And I think most people can be 99.9% confident, but I guess since nobody a genealogy officially goes back that far, I guess you could never know for 100% sure. You follow me?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, where are your forefathers from? I assume you're in Texas. I assume just by the sound of your voice, you probably are similar to me, and your forefathers came over from Europe. Do you know where they came from?
My dad was telling me that I'm mixed with Irish, Italian, and German.
Uh huh.
So I assume so.
Yeah, and if that's true, you can be pretty sure that you're not a Jew, an Israelite, you're almost definitely going to be a Gentile. Make sense?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Any other questions or comments, Michael? Michael?
My other question is, like, what does Jew and a Gentile mean? Like, what are the differences? I guess you probably already answered that regarding Jews come from the lineage area of Jacob.
Yes. And back in the Old Testament, God, the law of Moses, the Old Testament law, was specifically given to the Israelites, and the Gentiles were never under that law. But that distinction, Michael, doesn't make any difference anymore. But we see from passages like Ephesians 2, 14 through 16, Michael, that that it doesn't make any difference anymore whether you're Jew or Gentile, that when Jesus died on the cross, he took away, he abolished that law. And so now, whether you're Jew or Gentile, we're all under the same law. We call it the law of Christ, the New Testament law. And so it doesn't make any difference whether you're Jew or Gentile, white or black, or from China, from American Indian, or male or female. None of that makes any difference anymore. We're all one in Christ. You're either a Christian or you're not a Christian. So it's really not important to determine if you're a Jew or a Gentile anymore.
Oh, okay. All right.
Michael, I'd love to talk to you further about this and other Bible stuff. Do you want to send me an email and then we can continue to talk during the week?
Sure. Uh-huh.
My email is very easy to remember. It's BibleCrossfire@email.com. If you'll send me an email, we can talk further during the week about any Bible topic. I'd love to.
Okay. And what was your email just one more time?
BibleCrossfire@email.com.
Okay.
Not Gmail, it's email. BibleCrossfire@email.com.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call, Michael. And that goes for anybody else in the audience. If you want to talk to me about any Bible topic during the week, just send me an email, BibleCrossfire@email.com. I usually get a number of emails during the week, and I try to respond to every single one of them. And many times we get into discussions where we're sending back 8 or 10 emails each. So it's that can be done at your leisure when you're doing email, and at my leisure, and we can talk about the Bible during the week. BibleCrossfire@email.com. We look forward to hearing from anybody in the audience at that email address. Keith from Colorado, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes. All right. So I just wanted to know what the difference between a Jew and a Hebrew is, right? And what and how God made Israelites the children of God. And I know you just discussed that just a moment ago, you know, how the curtain was torn and Jesus died for us all. And if you're a Christian, you're a Christian. It doesn't matter what. But if that's the case, and most Jews don't believe in Jesus, then I don't get how that can be. Like, I'm still confused. Like, who was brought out of Egypt, the Hebrews or the Jews?
Well, I'm not really sure that there is a distinction between Hebrews and Jews. If there is, I'm unaware of it, and I'm not an expert on this, but I think they're just two different names for the same people, Hebrews and Jews. And Hebrew is used especially a lot when you're talking about the language they spoke back then. They spoke the language Hebrew, and Jew was a name for the same people, I think, but that name came along later, much later than the name Hebrew.
Okay.
But all right. The Bible teaches that Jews, as we call it, if they never believe in Christ, they're not going to be saved. You know, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Right.
And he said in John 8:24, except ye believe that I am he, you shall die in your sweet sins. So anybody, whether Jew, Gentile, or Chinese, like I said a while ago, if you don't believe in Christ, you're not going to be saved. No exceptions.
Right, right. Okay, well, thank you for answering. I'll do a little bit more research, and if I have any more questions, I'll be sure to give you a call or send you an email. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, Keith, and go look up the word Hebrew and Jew in Google and see if you see any distinction between the two. I'm not aware of any.
Okay, and I don't want to make any, you know, with all the racist stuff going around right now. I just want everybody just to be, you know, basically saved and under the same umbrella, so to speak. But
yeah.
Okay, well, have a good day.
Thank you, Keith. And that's exactly what God has done. He's put everybody under the same umbrella. We're all amenable to the same law. We turn to the New Testament to find out what God would want us to do to be saved, how he wants us to worship him, how he wants us to live our lives. Everybody's under that same law, so we're just one. It doesn't make any difference. Where you are, where you're from in this world, it doesn't make any difference. Thanks for your call, Keith.
Hey, God bless. Bye-bye.
Rick from New Jersey, yeah. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, Michael, my wife and I went to a Messianic service on Saturday. We were invited, our Sunday school class from our church were invited to this Messianic service, but it was really interesting. They talk a lot about the history, and, you know, there are Jews who believe in Jesus. But I got to, I was talking to one of the congregationalists, and we were talking about salvation, and she startled me. She said, well, I know my family's Jewish. I believe in Jesus, she says, but I don't worry about it too much because God says that the nation of Israel is saved. And I knew that wasn't right because you're only saved through faith in Jesus Christ. But I guess it does say that in the Old Testament, what was God referring to when he said that? Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I'd have to know the particular verse, but the Jews in the Old Testament were God's chosen people, but that didn't necessarily mean that each Jew was saved spiritually just because he was born in that nation, because they still, even back then, the Bible said the just shall live by faith. They had to have faith in Christ and be forgiven of their sins back then, even then. And the most important thing is today is people have to believe in Christ to be saved. Doesn't matter what race you're from. And the Jews, as we use that term, for the most part, don't believe in Christ, so they're not going to be saved.
I just think, and I love the Jewish people, but I just think a lot of them are deceived by thinking that. I think they think they're under an umbrella because they're of the Jewish nation, and that's not true. So I do agree with you.
Hey, appreciate you calling it, Rick. Have a good day.
Thank you, Michael.
Another thing that a lot of believers don't realize is wrong is calling a brother in Christ a fool. Jesus said in Matthew 5:22 that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of everlasting fire. And so we should not call a brother in Christ fool. There's no exceptions that Jesus gave. Never call somebody a brother, is what this verse is talking about, a fool. Just don't do it. It's wrong. A lot of believers don't realize that's wrong, but it is. Another thing I'd mention that a lot of believers don't realize is wrong is short hair on women and long hair on men. A lot of people don't realize that's in there. They think it's just a cultural thing, but it's in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 11:14-15. Let me read that verse. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So a man should not have long hair, according to God, according to the Bible, and a woman should have long hair. Now, I see a lot of people out there claiming to be Christians, men with long hair, even these Christian rock groups, we might say, whatever they're called, these gospel groups of men will have long hair. And then I'll see a lot of women who have hair that's short as a boy. But I guess they just don't realize the Bible does enforce that teaching that a man should not have long hair and a woman should have long hair. A lot of believers don't know that's in there, but it's in there. Cindy from Indiana, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I hear you saying about all these things that Christians shouldn't do and shouldn't have, and I understand what you're saying, that you could lose your salvation.
Right.
And that you need to do works. Well, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. And then Matthew 10:28-29 says, whatsoever the Father has given to me, no man shall pluck out of my hand. So what was the purpose of Jesus dying then, if you can lose your salvation?
What is the purpose of Jesus dying if a person? What is the purpose of Jesus dying if a person can be saved? Just to start with, so the reason Jesus died is so that we could be saved, but the salvation He provides is conditional, else everybody be saved, because Jesus died for everybody. So if you become a Christian, but then later you change your mind and fall away, you're not saved anymore. In John 10, it talks about nobody can pluck you out of their hand. They can't snatch you out of God's hand. That's true. Nobody can force you to lose your salvation. But that's not saying anything about whether or not you can choose to leave God and lose your salvation. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 3, talking about people who had become Christians, become partakers of the heavenly calling. In verse 1, it calls them holy brethren. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So here's a brother in Christ, a person that became a Christian. He's saved, but he's in danger. He could change back to unbelief, depart from the living God. He loses his salvation. That is a reflect upon the salvation that's in Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9 is discussing the basis of our salvation by the death of Christ, not whether or not salvation is conditional. Now, James 2:24 is discussing whether or not salvation is conditional, and it says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So we are justified by our works, not by faith only, when you're talking about the fact that we have to meet conditions in order to be saved by the death of Christ, which is what we're saved by, the death of Christ. We're going to have to go off the air. Send me an email, BibleCrossfire@email.com, and we will talk to you about the Bible during the week. BibleCrossfire@email.com. Thank you for listening.